Oh, here we go. Must be that day, Alan, I guess, you know. Today we're going to look at the heresy, now, watch how I call this, the heresy of the sovereignty of God. Ooh, is right. Now, let me just start off. Is God sovereign? Now, what I mean by that when I say the heresy of the sovereignty of God, I started to say this. Is God sovereign? Well, absolutely. There's no other God but God. But see, God has sovereignly done some things. He has sovereignly given us his word. He has sovereignly chose. You didn't talk him into it. You didn't talk him into sending Jesus to the cross. You did not talk him into having Jesus take those lashes on his back for your healing. God sovereignly chose to do those things himself. His decision for your healing has already sovereignly been made. His decision for your salvation has already sovereignly been made. You can't talk him out of it. And besides that, it's already done. It's already paid for. Amen? See? But now, when I say in the same way that Alan this morning was kind of debunking what's commonly called, oh, we need to be in unity, brother. The reason we don't have revival is we're not all in unity. You got to hear that message, okay? I'm not even going to try. But here's another one. Now, here's when you start getting into heresy regarding God's sovereignty. When people start telling you God is in control, everything that happens, that's God. By the way, did the devil use scripture out of context against Jesus? Oh, yeah, you know, the angels, he's given his angels charge over you. That's true. That's scripture. We can go right to it. Therefore, jump off the pinnacle. Wait a minute. So you can be scriptural and be, what I mean is you can take scriptures and string them together out of context. My favorite illustration, these are two verses. Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. Those are both verses that are in the Bible. But you can't string that together and say that's the mind of Christ, can you? Absolutely not. When you start hearing things like, well, God's in control, whatever happens is God's will, and I start backing it up with scripture, well, you know what the Bible says? All things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Never mind. You know, you ought to just ask them sometime. What is the subject there? What was Paul talking about where that verse is? First off, most of them won't even know what chapter it's in. Okay, I won't ask you. It's Romans 8, okay? And what he's talking about is when you are praying in other tongues and you don't even know what you're praying about, your intellect, the Holy Spirit, he is making intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. And while you are doing that, you can rest assured that he is working all things together for your good according to the perfect will of God. Now, that's what it means. And it does not mean that that car wreck was God's will for you. Does not mean that that cancer that came on your body was God working some mysterious thing according to his unknown will, that you have to just glorify him and put up with it, because you know what the Bible said, all things work together for your good. God gave you that cancer for your good. That is heresy to the 10th power. You're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. That is just, it's demonic. It's worse than wrong. Because I'll tell you what it does, it disarms God's army. It makes you thinking, well, I better not fight this. I mean, I better just glorify God. I better not come against it because God may have some secret purpose. No, the devil has some secret purpose to kill you and take you off the face of the earth and make you useless in the army of God. We have got two kingdoms at war. Now, he's going to have me stepping on a lot of toes for the next few weeks, and I'm okay with that. God will heal your toes. Okay? A lot of really important verses have become platitudes. They have become things that we say so frequently that they've lost all relevance. They've lost all meaning to us. And I'm talking about some of our favorite verses. It's like, and I don't even know if we'll get to hardly any of them today. We're just starting this. Here's some of them I'm talking about. He always causes us to triumph. Is that not in there? He always causes us to triumph. How about another one? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We throw those around all the time, don't we? Yeah, tell that to the person that's dying of cancer and got 2 hours to live. I'm tired of your platitudes. What does that mean? What does that verse in the Bible mean? And how do you use it in God's army? You know, quit. I don't want to lay there at cancer and you tell me your platitudes. Can you get the cancer off of me or can you not? Do you have authority over sickness and disease or don't you? Don't lay there and tell me God's got some purpose for killing me slowly with cancer. Boy, I didn't get hardly any amens there. That's what we've been doing, the church at large. Making them think there's some kind of mysterious will. There is. It's the devil. He's trying to kill you with cancer. That's the mysterious will. And we're not smart enough. Okay, we're too dumb to know the difference. Because we've been religiously brainwashed instead of biblically trained. Now that's the truth. So let's start putting a dagger in some of these things. I want to kill them dead. I want to kill all these. I want these sacred cows, all of them dead. I want cancer to run like a scalded dog when you show up in the room. You hear me? Because that's what Jesus intended. What did if he showed up in the room? One right. Would cancer run like a scalded dog if Jesus showed up in the room? Your testimony is soon going to be, if you've seen me, you have seen Jesus. And I don't mean in a religious, prideful way. I don't mean you're going to build a ministry on that. It's just the truth. The most humble person ever to walk this planet said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My Bible says we're to walk as he walked. As he is, so are we. When we get to heaven, in this world. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Does that mean you're perfect? No. But you've seen his life being manifested on this earth. I'm bringing it. Sue says, bring it, baby. Bring it. I'm bringing it. I'm going to say it again. The sovereignty heresy says God's in control. By the way, be turning to Matthew 6. I know you know this. We know this, but we don't know this. See? Heresy is that God's in control. Whatever happens, it's God's will. God's got some mysterious purpose. Yes, we know that car wreck killed your 3 children. But God's, you know, other verses. He won't put on you more than you can bear. Like God put that car wreck on you and killed your kids just to see if you could bear it. You are serving some different God than the one I know. You're serving some different God than the one I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't see Jesus killing no kids. I don't see Jesus putting sickness on nobody to ever teach them nothing. That is not God. That's the devil. And the church is so hoodwinked, we can hardly tell the church at large, hardly tell the difference. And I'm going to be more specific. This church here has not been able to get the cancer off of the ones that we're supposed to get the cancer off of. Now, come on. Let's fess up. Let's get real. Let's get in the army. Endure hardness as a soldier. That starts with telling the truth. Right now, we have not been doing it. And if Jesus come down off the mountain to us, we'd get the same whooping that the 9 got that couldn't get that boy free. Now again, you know, I'm full, right? Matthew 17. It doesn't get any clearer in my mind than this. Now, here comes this guy with this lunatic son. Doesn't mean he was crazy. He had seizures. I bet today they would call it epilepsy, but I don't know for sure. Could be multiple sclerosis, could be anything. But whatever it was bad. It was definitely demonic. Because Jesus, we know later, cast the devil out of that boy. It was definitely demonic. So here we've got two kingdoms at war. The kingdom of darkness has this child. This little innocent. Well, I mean, this boy, I think, is a teenager at this point. But the father said it had been on him since he was a child. So in my mind, I picture this like, I don't want to use any name, but a little innocent child. Little innocent child. And the devil says, epilepsy. Something. Somehow. See, you got to understand this. The enemy is a thief. Thieves don't need authority to steal from your house. They're doing it because they can, and you haven't been able to stop them. Now, that's what's going on here. So the enemy got this little boy and has him trapped with this physical thing. Now he's become a young man. And so the kingdom of darkness, it's almost like I can almost hear laughing and mocking as the father brings that child. Can I say to church, to the disciples, are we not, if they don't bring them here, where are they supposed to bring them? Brings them to the disciples. The disciples have already been given power and authority over all sicknesses and disease and to cast out devils. They're doing what they can like we've done what we could. And it's two kingdoms at war. And I can almost hear the laughter in the realm of darkness. You can't do anything. Look what I can do. Fits, foaming at the mouth, roll him into the fire, roll him into the water. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's like that. Stop me if you can. Ha. And they can't. And sadly, that is the state of the church for the most part, including us. Come on, let's get real. Let's get real. And thank God the story doesn't stop there. Because when Jesus come down off the mountain with the ones that were with him, he was not happy with what he saw. And I know he's not happy with the state of the church at large or here right now. Now, he loves you. Don't get me wrong. But he's taken us to a new level. He's taken us to a new level, which is really the level he intended us for to be at the whole time. So now you've got two kingdoms at war. The devil's going, we've got this kid. There's nothing you can do about it. Jesus says, you bring that boy here to me. And I mean in short order. He casts the devil out of that boy, sets the captive free. And that's why we went to Luke here. Luke in a minute. Luke chapter 4. Part of his proclamation as the king of the kingdom that is now available on planet Earth. The kingdom is now available. The kingdom of God is at hand. He is the king, and I have been anointed to proclaim. That word proclaim is like the proclamation of a king. I proclaim to set the captives free. And here we saw it with that boy. Now, he has taken us further than we've been before, where we're not going to be praying for the sick. We're going to be healing the sick. We're not going to be praying for those that have mental disease. We're going to cast that devil out. If it is a mental chemical imbalance, we're going to get it cured, healed in Jesus' name, and start living this gospel. And the little platitudes, they are absolutely the word of God, but they're not any longer going to be little things to soothe our conscience. When he causes us to triumph, that means when you leave in your wake in that city that you just left, the captives have been set free. Because you always triumph. You're more than a conqueror. That means that. Hallelujah. Did you find. Did I say go to Matthew 6? Good. I'm a good preacher, I tell you what. Pat myself. Take a moment for myself. Just a moment. Okay. Matthew 6. Where he starts talking about when you pray. Look at verse 7. Actually, I want to come down to the Lord's Prayer. Let's just start this in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you. Now, the reason I'm reading this, this heresy that goes around all the time says God's in control, as if everything that happens somehow is him. That he's got some mysterious will behind that horrible thing. That's really his will. And if you believe that, you're not going to resist it. Right. See, if you believe that, you think, well, if God did this, who am I to resist God? See, but look how Jesus, just that one statement, God's in control. Everything that happens one way, somehow or another, that's God. Well, then why in the world did he tell us to pray like this? Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now notice, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, that right there is enough to tell you his will is not always being done on planet earth. It's not. Otherwise, why pray that? It was not God's will for that epileptic boy to be trapped with that disease. It was not God's will. God had no secret purpose for it. He was not teaching him anything through it. It was two kingdoms at war. And he came to set the captives free. Okay? Now, Luke 4. Did I say Luke 4 earlier? Okay, good. Go back to Luke 4 now. I just want you to see this. This is the gospel to the world. This is the real gospel here. After Jesus had been baptized by John in the River Jordan and he fasted and was tempted of the devil for 40 days, and it is written, it is written, it is written. And then he comes into Nazareth, his hometown, and finds that prophecy in Isaiah. But then this is what he proclaims. Boy, if you want to hear the proclamation of the king. Verse 18, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good news. That's what the gospel means, to preach the good news to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach, boy, this one's all inclusive, to preach, to proclaim as the king the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, everybody knew in Jewish, that was Jewishly trained, everybody in that synagogue knew when he said that, he was talking the year of Jubilee. Now, if you go back and study the year of Jubilee, every debt was canceled. I don't care how many mistakes maybe your parents made, and maybe they made a bad investment and they wound up losing their property, and they wound up losing, and maybe eventually by the time it come to you, now you're becoming in bondage to another family because just to pay off your debts. If you really read it, it's funny because God warns them. He says, now when we're approaching the year of Jubilee, don't stop making debts to your brother knowing that it's going to be paid off. he says, now don't do that. Help him. But anyway, I love that. When you went on the day of Jubilee, where it says the acceptable year of the Lord, I don't care how many mistakes you made. I don't care how many mistakes your parents made. I don't care what got you to where you are. On that day of Jubilee, all debts are canceled. You get the title deed back to your property. You are restored, full-fledged, like nothing, no mistakes, nothing, like you never did anything wrong, ever. And if you want to know the truth of it, that's 1 John 1:9. That's 1 John 1:9. I don't care how many mistakes you made. I don't care what, how did Dave used to say that? I don't care what slimy rock you crawled out from under that morning. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I don't care what slimy rock, you don't run from the blood. You run to the blood. You run to your Father, confess it as sin, ask him to, and repent. Now you may, I'm the poster boy for this now, you may have to repent 1,000 times before you finally get free. But you will eventually get free. Now you're free legally from the day you got saved, but it may take a while for you to manifest that. But don't, in the process, don't run from God, run to him. That's not delivered as prophecy, but see, how do I say that, Father? We're still in our, not in us, within ourselves. We're still doing warfare over sin. When really at this point, we should be doing warfare against cancer. Grow up. Raised in construction and truck driving. He's helping me. Hallelujah. I was going to read you some things I've been writing as I've been meditating. Listen, his will is seldom being done on planet Earth. You got to see, people had this idea, like, because of verses that normally are preached out of context, you know, one of them, I'm not going to even get into them tonight, but one of the one that's commonly used, he made a show of him openly. That's true. But that's regarding you that believes. It does. Did you know that the verse that says, in fact, I think I made a list somewhere. Yeah, I did. Okay, we got too many. I don't want you to have to turn to all these. I may post this as a PDF just for ready reference. I want you to understand, every verse here that I'm going to read to you is after the resurrection. This is what the Bible says about this world and about Satan after the resurrection. Because people had the idea, well, he's so defeated, he has no power, he has no ability, and people are, and yet, and we sing them kind of songs and we talk like that to each other while our brethren are dying of cancer. That is a mockery. The devils are just laughing at us. Not for long. Not for long. Now see, 2 Corinthians, every verse I'm going to look, let me make sure. Well, I got one or two that's before the resurrection. Well, really only one. Okay. All the rest of these are after the resurrection. Now listen, don't turn to them. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom, now let me ask you, is 2 Corinthians after the resurrection? Boy, that was weak. Is 2 Corinthians after the resurrection?
Yes.
So that's in our dispensation now, right? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world, little g, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you understand? He is still called by the Apostle Paul in Scripture, the devil is still called the God of this world. Little g. His will is what's being accomplished most of the time. It's even our, I love how Alan uses the example of the iceberg. You only see the 10% that's above. You know, we're usually trying to work on the 10% that we can see. The vast majority of the problem with humans is underneath the surface. And really, it's what we call good that the Bible still calls evil. A mama bear will kill you if you try and take her cubs. Now, she's doing what in her mind is right. What happens if we catch that mama bear that killed a human? We killed a mama bear. What I'm saying is even our goodness still manifests evil. The God of this world. He's still called the God of this world. And if you, now see, I'm not going to turn, with so many verses, it just, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I think that's Luke 10:19, I think, but it's close there. Now, but that word power in the King James is there twice. But in Greek, what he really said was, I have given you authority over all of the ability of the enemy. I've given you authority. And he can't hurt you. But he's really preaching to believers. See, Jesus is teaching the kingdom of God, even though it's not available for another couple of years till he's resurrected. But he's teaching us. He's teaching to us in this dispensation. He didn't say that devil doesn't have any ability. He says, I'm giving you authority over his ability, and he can't hurt you. Well, that's if you know you have authority. And if you know how to exercise that authority. See, a policeman could have authority over all the traffic in the city, but if the policeman just puts on the real dark sunglasses and sits on the park bench and eating bonbons and drinking coffee and decides not to do nothing about it, doesn't ever pull his gun, doesn't ever step out there, doesn't ever say nothing. Now, he's got all authority, but ability's running amok out there. People, anyway, law breaking everywhere. Why? No enforcer, no policeman. You're God's army. You're God's policeman. You've been authorized. You got a badge from heaven. You've been given the name of Jesus. I want to see if you're armed. Hold out your arms. Do you see hands on the end of them? Look at your, don't look at mine. I know I got hands. You got hands?
Yes.
Do you have the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Hello, policeman.
Hello.
Cancer is an enemy of God. It's a crime. From God's point of view, it's a crime. We're supposed to eliminate it.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:4. But see, the God of this world. But you're never going to operate like that if somehow there's something in you that thinks, oh, all things work together for good. Out of context. I'm not mocking that scripture. You know, I love that scripture. But he is not saying cancer is some, God's got some mystical purpose behind cancer. No, the devil has a purpose. It's not so mystical either. He intends to kill you and mock God while he does it. Okay, here's some more. Don't turn to these. Okay, I want to read that one again. I'm going to try not preach so much. 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's the one that says, in whom the God of this world, he's still called. I want you to understand, he is still called the God of this world. 1 John 5:19 says, we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, that doesn't sound like, if the whole world lies in wickedness, that doesn't sound like God's will is being done there. Does it to you? Isn't it interesting in that same letter, 1 John, that's chapter 5, talking about the whole world lieth in wickedness? That same letter in the second chapter, verse 15, he says, that's why he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not even in him. This world is not the way it is right now. Satan is the God of this world. I didn't say that. Paul said that. And Paul said it because the Holy Spirit inspired it. And the whole world is lying in wickedness. I like to say darkness. It helps my mind. And there's lights in the darkness, and you are the lights. Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But then he said to us, you are the light of the world. Let your works be seen to glorify my Father. And he wasn't talking about, I can tell you what those works are not. They are not giving, they are not praying, and they are not fasting, because all of those you're supposed to do in secret. So what works are you supposed to do that's to be seen? Cast cancer out, cast devils out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. That's the work. And they will glorify God when you do it. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read these three verses. Love not the world. Now, again, who's the God of this world? See, you have trouble even saying it. People don't like to say that. They don't like to admit that's in their Bible. They're religiously brainwashed, not biblically trained. We are at war with the God of this world, little g. Please get that in your head. We are at war with the God, little g, of this world. And if we don't change, his will is going to keep being accomplished. John, 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's not even of the Father. Do y'all understand there's no money in heaven? I like how Alan said that one time. He says about the mansions, you know, how with the old times, God's got a mansion for me. Alan says, I bet Pastor Dave's doorknob is going to be more gold than my doorknob. What do y'all think? His mansion's bigger than my, I counted my rooms. Dave's got more rooms than my mansion. How many of you think it's going to be that way? It's not going to be that way at all. I like that joke that Pastor Dave would tell. That one guy finally succeeded. You know, really, it says we can't take anything with us. But in Pastor Dave's joke, this guy, he got into heaven and he had a little bag with him. And the angels were surprised. They went, man, nobody in history was ever able to bring anything. But somehow you hang on to that bag and you brought it from earth to heaven when you died. What in the world was so precious to you that you managed to bring it? Can we look in the bag? Well, okay. And he opens up the bag and they look in it. And they go, pavement? Because the guy brought a bag of gold. And in heaven, they use it for asphalt. They use it to pave the streets with. Doesn't mean nothing. So all of this competition, all of this, who am I, all of this. My house is better than your house. My car is better than your car. Really, and it's even worse, my position is higher than your position. My status is more than your status. None of that is of the Father at all. That's why you can't love it. And then he finishes off saying the world, in the 1 John 2:17, the world passes away and the lust thereof. None of that stuff is going to mean anything to you in heaven. Even the disciples were guilty of it. We brought our mother to help us argue our case with you, Jesus. Jewish boys pay attention to mama quite a bit. So they brought their mama. She's going to help intercede on our behalf because I want to sit on your left and my brother wants to sit on your right. You know, and the other disciples got mad. You know why they got mad, though? Because they wanted to sit on the left and they wanted to sit. They were guilty of the same thing. And none of that is of God. None of that is of God. Well, you know, though, Brother Gary, I was raised in this and they're still doing this. And they love God. See, what's sad is they're deceived loving God. Well, God's in control. God's in control. I remember a case where a tractor somehow got into gear and backed over a 5-year-old boy and killed him. That's a true case. And I was about 20, I think, when that happened. Of course, everybody went to the funeral. And the pastor, you know, I understand where they're coming from. There's a lot of hurt. And I never forget, though, it's said, well, God, look, here we go. See, it's that thinking that God's in control. God looked down from heaven. He needed another flower for his garden. And he saw our little, I can't remember the name, Jeffrey. He saw our little Jeffrey and said, ah, that's the perfect flower. So God plucked him from this earth. And they said it in a lot more flowery language. And I understand they're trying to soothe hurting hearts. I do understand that. That does not give you the right to preach false doctrine. Because it makes you, it gets in you. Then you don't become such a warrior anymore. So you don't see it for what it is. But anyway, and God plucked our little Jeffrey, the little flower, and he planted it in heaven. I remember having this thought, even this is way before I knew anything like what I know today. But even then, I remember this thought. God comes down from heaven and kills 5-year-old children just because he wants to. That was my thought. That's the way my brain interpreted that. And I knew then it was wrong, but I didn't say anything, you know, and I'm glad I didn't say anything. That's not the time and the place, okay? There is a scriptural way of handling those situations. Okay. I guess the main purpose today, I want you to get it straight from scripture. That there is a heresy about the sovereignty of God. It's rampant in the church. It runs deeper than what you realize. Because it affects what you do. If I really saw, I'm thinking of cancer on somebody. If I saw, I'll just pick Helena. If I saw a rattlesnake approaching Helena to kill her, I would not pray, God, is this your will? Are you glad about that, Helena? I'm going to grab a hoe. I'm going to grab a shovel. If nothing else, I'm going to take off my shoe. I'm going to be beating that rattlesnake to death. See, because I know it's not of God. I know it's trying to kill her. Why don't we see that? We've got to see that, see? Okay. We are in a war. It is two kingdoms at war. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you this verse ahead of time. And then I'm going to give you some. I want you to look at this one. Colossians 1:13. Everywhere that you read those verses, like he always causes us to triumph. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors. That is absolutely true. But only as you understand it, that's what he's done for you as a believer. You're in his kingdom. You have been equipped. The devil has no authority over you because you're not of this world. He's the God of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. And that's what Jesus meant. I give you authority over all of his ability. And he has ability, but he can't use it to hurt you. Now he's running rampant over people that don't know that. But our job is to come, and I'll tell you right now, he intends for you to set the captive free, whether they have faith or not. Do you have faith in the name? That beggar at the gate beautiful had no faith at all. Doesn't say anything about his faith. He wasn't even asking to be healed. Who had the faith? Peter had the faith. It is that name through faith in that name. It wasn't that man, the beggar's faith. It was Peter's faith. And he's calling us to do the same thing. And to do it even with unbelievers totally as a sign to them that our God is God. Jesus is Lord. The God of this world has been defeated. But we have come to enforce that defeat. Did you find Colossians? Colossians 1:13. Who hath, past tense, this has already happened, delivered us. Now us, that's believers. That's not talking about unbelievers. The world is still under the power. We just got through looking. The whole world still lies in wickedness. It's lying in darkness. If you're an unbeliever, Satan is the god of this world. You hear me? But for us, he has delivered us. If you're a believer, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now that word power there is a exousia, and it means authority. In plain English today, we would say it this way: Satan has no jurisdiction over you. You have been delivered out of his jurisdiction. He has no authority over you. You have all authority over him. If the truth be known, he has no authority really here anymore. Not really. Even though he's still God of this world, but he's God of this world through ignorance. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore you go in my name. Right? So the devil's doing what he's doing as a thief. Thieves don't ask for your permission to steal your TV. They break in against your permission and steal your TV. Well, anyway. Who hath delivered us, believers. This is who we are. God's policemen, God's enforcers. He has delivered us, not the world, us, from the power, the authority of darkness, and hath, this is so good, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, that word that's translated, that word translated in the Greek, historically, that word is used when a conqueror was removing a people from one country to the other. That's the kind of word that was used when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel. And he removed the people from Israel to Babylon. When you got saved, the conqueror, Jesus Christ, spiritually removed you from the kingdom of darkness and brought you over into the kingdom of God. You're in a different kingdom with a different king. Your citizenship is in heaven, and you are subjects of that kingdom, which operates under different laws and which has all authority and all power and all dominion in that name. And now he says, I want you to go and set the captives free the same way that I went and set the captives free. In my name, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, preach the gospel, and then if they won't hear you. See? It comes down to believing this. Now, Today I want to show you some more verses. Look at Ephesians. Go ahead and look at this one. Now see, Ephesians 6 has been so taught it hardly means anything to us anymore. I'm telling you, we're going to stop losing them. We're going to stop losing believers to cancer. I keep using that one because that seems to be the one that's really been attacking. But I mean, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Kidney disease. I don't care what it is. Dave used to teach us, don't play with baby rattlesnakes. I'm tired of playing with the cold.
Amen.
Why? Because that thing will have you believing you can't get healed. And pretty soon it'll be the flu. Then after that, it's going to be something else. I'm coming against... Now, Gary, you've gone over the edge. That's okay. I'm coming against every cold sore that tries to form on my lip. In my history has been, I'm subject to those things fairly frequently. That is not my future. Anything that tries to attack my body, anything... I'm recognizing it now. I'm alert to it now. I'm not asleep anymore. And it may be a baby. You'd say, oh, a cold sore. A baby rattlesnake will still kill you. It's still death. It's still part of the fall. It has no right on my lip. Or in my mouth or anything else. Besides that, I want Sue to be able to kiss me on my lips without no cold sores on there. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, finally. Now, this is his conclusion of the whole letter of Ephesians. This is his conclusion after all of his teaching. Finally, in conclusion, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Got to understand, this thing is by grace. He's not calling on us to do this in our own strength or our own power. No. We've been... The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. See, it's the Lord's strength. It's the Lord working with us. Not so much, but it's, as long as you've got the word, it's the Lord working with the word that you are speaking. Most people are not speaking the word. They're not even speaking it against their own circumstances, much less trying to speak it against somebody else's. Don't talk to the mountain. Come on. Very few. That's not today's lesson. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Dave, again. The military strategies. Well, I thought he did. No, he's been made a show of openly. He don't got no... He don't got no strategy against me, Brother Gary. He don't got none. You got a Bible? Doesn't it say you're going to have to stand against his strategies? You think he's intending to leave you alone? Did he leave Paul alone? But see, that's when you're more than a conqueror. Because no matter what he throws at you, you're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And if you believe it, God will always cause you to triumph. Amen. But don't be thinking that the enemy's not going to throw no wiles against you. He is. He ain't got no wiles. Yeah, he does. And look at verse 12. For we wrestle. Present tense. We wrestle. If you can't believe this for you, believe it for your next friend that the devil attacks with cancer. Wrestle with that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That person is not your enemy. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to read it a little different. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against devils. Demons at all levels. Right. They're militaristic. If you haven't heard Dave's teaching on the warfare, Satan's war machine, you ought to hear it. It's fabulous. But most of the church doesn't wrestle. We wrestle. I want you to understand, is this after the resurrection? See, people are asleep. All things, you know, work together. Come on. They do if you're praying in tongues. That's what he was talking about. All things work together for their good. When? When you allow him to make intercession for you according to the will of God. Even when your mind can't understand, you don't even know you got in a ditch so deep you can't even see daylight anymore. Holy Ghost knows how to get you out of that ditch. I tell myself, Gary, quit trying to figure it out. Just go pray it out. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But I'm smart enough to pray it out. Holy Ghost will get me out of that ditch. Amen. Let's look at another one. Go to Luke. I want you to see this. Go to Luke 13:16. So this morning it was the heresy of the unity of the church. Now it's the heresy of the sovereignty of God. And I do believe, we believe in unity. Hey, we believe in the unity. We're growing up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. We believe in unity, real unity. I believe in God's sovereignty. But I don't believe in the heresy the way it's being taught today. Stand there. Stand there with some loved one of mine dying a slow death of agony and tell me that's God at work. I'll slap you in love. God will forgive me later. After I slap you in love. That's not God, that's the devil, and the church is too dumb to know it. And not to know, not only do we not really go to war, we don't even know how to do it. Well, that's changing. Last Sunday night, calling in the lost, we're teaching on authority to command. Yes. Authority to command. In fact, I'm going to look this one up. I just have the one verse. Let me get it all. Because listen, Jesus said, I'm sending you on the same mission. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Well, that means we're supposed to learn from him how to do this. We do it the way he did it. Nothing else will work. Okay? He told us, he taught us how to do it. That's one of the reasons he was here for 3 years. How do you do this? So Luke 13, let me find it here. Okay, starting verse 11. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Say a devil.
Devil.
See, a spirit of infirmity is a devil. Okay? 18 years and was bowed together. You got the mental picture? Bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, what was causing the bowing? Was it what's that word for bone disease? Or whatever, scoliosis is one. Osteoporosis. No, it's a devil. Sometimes it's a devil. Now, not all sickness is a devil, but we're going to find out more and more. A lot of them are. A lot of them are. And even if they're not a devil, they can still be healed. You hear me? Jesus did both. Now, this one we know she had a spirit of infirmity. Okay? And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, when the policeman saw the crime, were you listening to me earlier? When the policeman saw the crime being... What if I said, there was a lady on the street corner being mugged by six burly men. And you're a policeman. And you see it. Are you supposed to just whistle, close your eyes, and drive on by? What's required for you to go into action? See the crime. Isn't that right? When Jesus saw her, she's all bowed over. Notice things that's not written, but you can tell from his action, that's not the will of God. Number one, that's not the will of God. That is not my Father's will for that lady. That's a crime being enacted. That's two kingdoms at war. I don't even know if he knew that the woman had been bowed over. Yeah, he does, because he says here later. So he must have asked, or God let him know. But 18 years. Now, see, when I read this, I think this was a regular synagogue goer. I think this lady came to synagogue every week. And I think she had been coming for 18 years. And that's sadly, God had a covenant with the Jews. In that day, you're supposed to be able to come and get healed. In our day, let's go and point the finger at them. In our day, we have been equipped to wrestle with principalities and powers and all of the, and we're supposed to set the captives free. That's the gospel. 18 years she came. And the devil mocked. Paraded her in, paraded her out. It's a shame when somebody comes for 18 years to church and does not get healed. Now come on. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman." Let's start. Okay, I better read it because other people. "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He laid his hands on her and immediately. Can you? You got the picture? Can you see it in your brain? See that woman straighten up? Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now let's look at what Jesus did not do. He did not pray, "Father, do you have some purpose? Father, is there some secret will behind this woman being bowed over for 18 years? Have you got, are all things working together for her good by this?" See how silly? Isn't it just silly? Notice what else he didn't do. "Father, I'm asking you to heal this woman today." Now you got to understand, Jesus has not yet borne the stripes on his back. But when he was baptized by John in the river, God accepted it that day as though it was already done. Okay, so he's operating as the king of the kingdom, even though he won't bear the stripes for another year or two. In the mind of God, it's already done. It's in that place called done. Amen? All right. He did not pray to the Father to heal her. He gave a command. He gave, as a king. What did he say? "I've come to set the captives free. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And apparently that was enough for that devil to run, that spirit of infirmity to run off like a scalded dog. You ever seen a scalded dog? Boy, they're gone and it's yay, 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 yay. They're gone, man. No arguing about it, no nothing, just gone. Then it says, let's skip on down here. I'm running out of time. Verse 15, then the Lord answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his..." I mean, religion got mad because he did it on the Sabbath. The woman had been coming for 18 years and they couldn't get her free. Oh. He's almost implied like, well, we could have healed her if she'd come on some other day. Yeah. Oh, give me a break. Yeah. They didn't care about her. Verse 16 to 1. "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham..." Now understand, at that time only the Jews had a covenant of healing. Now later on, after Jesus was resurrected, the gospel is, "Go ye into all the world now." So this is, okay. But the part to notice, "being a daughter of Abraham..." Now notice, get this, if you underline, please. "Whom Satan hath bound for 18 years. Years. This woman came to church, if you'll allow me, the synagogue, 18 years as a trophy of the devil, showing what he could do. And I don't care if you have a covenant with God. For 18 years. Be the truth of it be known, I doubt she was ever prayed for. I doubt they ever ministered at all. And shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Now, the point I'm really trying to make, who had her bound? Satan had her bound. God is going to burn this mindset into us here and all of you around that are joined to us. You have got to understand there are two kingdoms at war. It is not God behind any of this sickness and disease. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Now there's no purpose behind it. He's coming to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. That's the kingdom of darkness. Amen. But God has come that you'd have life and have that life in abundance. We've got to get this straight. When we see the crime, it's time to go into action. It says when he saw her. That's all he needed. Go into action. Set the captives free. Especially in the church. And we're going to be doing it in the Walmart. Amen. Telling you now. Just go ahead and go to Acts 10:38. This time I want you to read it in your Bible. I know you know it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Alan ran 5 minutes over, so I have liberty. If y'all can't tell, we all love Alan around here. Thank God. Acts 10:38. Now, if we've been sent on the same mission, which Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Of who? The devil. But wait a minute. He opened blind eyes. Oppressed of the devil. Wait a minute. He healed a lame man born that way from his mother's womb. Oppressed of the devil. That doesn't mean a demon literally has them. But all of those things are because of the fall. All of it. And Jesus come to set us free. Every healing, every time you see him ministering to the sick, healing. I love the one in Luke where it says it took all night long. This is right after he rebuked the fever from Peter's mother-in-law. Then at evening time, they brought all these people came. And that service lasted until dawn. But in that one, now I know he didn't always lay his hand on each and every one, but on that one it says he did. And there's such a picture for me. It just broke something in me. Here's the good shepherd. They're bringing the sheep one by one. It's like he's looking them over. One by one. He's put his hands on them and looking. Where have you been hurt? Where are you bleeding? What has he? Oh my goodness. And a real shepherd would pour in the oil and the wine. Talk gently to that sheep. He keeps bringing this back to mind. You want to know the goodness of your shepherd. Now, this is even today. I heard this, a modern-day shepherd in Israel, they interviewed him. Because they were saying, they take him out to feed the flocks. Every shepherd takes his flock, and they go through the valleys and the hills and the water during the day. And they're they're looking out for predators and everything. But at evening, all of these shepherds come, and there's a collective pen, big pen, that they put all of the sheep into. So if you can get the picture, maybe you've got 20 shepherds. And there's 20 flocks, but they put them all together in this great big old pen. And the question, the guy was interviewing him, said, well, in the morning, when it's time to go, how in the world do you separate all those sheep to go with the right shepherd? I said, well, that's the easiest thing in the world. One by one, a shepherd will come up to the gate, and he'll just start speaking. And his sheep raise their head because they know his voice. And his sheep, not the others, his sheep will follow him out because they know the voice. My sheep know my voice. They'll follow me and not the voice of a stranger. God, that means so much more to me after I heard that story. Now the good shepherd with you and everyone that you minister to. See, he's in you. He's taking that person. He's looking them over. He's ministering life to them through you. The Holy Spirit is literally ministering life. I've come that you'd have life. And he'll even do it to the sinner as a sign that Jesus is alive. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. And he'll heal you right now. Right now. We are growing up. Into the image, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's real unity. That's real unity. Now, Dave may still like strawberry the best, and somebody else might like vanilla. I don't think that affects our unity when it comes to casting out devils. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Dave's looking at me like, vanilla? Let me read you a few notes. Most of this is previews. The heresy says, the heresy of God's sovereignty says, God's in control and whatever happens is God's will. That is not true. That's just flat not true. If God was in control, then why would Jesus have us pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven? God's will, if you want to know the truth of it, is seldom done on planet earth. The whole world, we looked at that verse, lies in wickedness. Look at all of the oppressed of the devil that Jesus set free during his ministry. And the vast majority of those were Jews who already had a covenant. Not one of those people, not one. Now get this. And what we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a snippet of what he really did. John says near the end of his gospel, if all the things that Jesus did were written, I'm not sure all the books in the world could contain it. Isn't that right? You remember that? It's in there, right? What we see there is a snippet, but look at all of the ones that were healed. Some of them all night long. Now get this. Not one of those sick people was it God's will that they be sick. Did you get that? Did he ever do anything against the will of God? Was there some hidden purpose, some hidden meaning behind that sickness? No. He set all those captives free because it was God's will for them to be free. And not one of them was it God's will for them to be sick. Jesus would come to him and he'd say, what would you have me do for you? Remember the blind man? Here's a blind guy coming up probably today to have a cane, a white cane. What would you want me to do for you? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus did not say, well, just be thankful you have good hearing. Jesus did not say, oh, it's God's will for you to be blind. He's teaching you something through this blindness. Yeah, he's making you more humble, more loving, more caring. Listen to me. God does not use sin, sickness, or the devil to teach his children. Do you? Do you? Come on. We put anybody in jail that did that. Now, it is true, through the fire, through the trials, you will probably learn some things about humility, patience, love, and all that. But let me tell you can learn that from the Holy Ghost without going through the fire. He's the one conforming you to the image, and all those things are part of the image. But Jesus never said anything like that. He's, oh, just be glad you got good hearing. This is God's will. He's teaching you something. Baloney. What would he do? He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Preview of coming attractions. When Jesus says, have faith in God, when he says, whosoever, you ought to put your name in there. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, the mountain is whatever it is that's not of God. Because what's going to happen to that mountain? It's no longer going to be seen. You're going to throw it in the sea, which means it's going to sink. That mountain will not be there. That obstacle will not be in your life or in the life of that person anymore. Whosoever shall say. So let's say, when Sue says, mountain, be removed. The mountain goes. When B says, see, it's a whosoever. Say it. I'm a whosoever.
He
said my name. Because I'm a whosoever.
When I say to the mountain,
whatever it is that's not of God,
and I command it to go,
be seen no more.
I doubt not in my heart.
I believe what I say shall come to pass.
And I have everything I say.
Now see, we've used that metaphorically in imagery. I'm going to do it one more time. And then I'm going to run for the car. No. I am a whosoever.
When I speak to cancer,
cancer goes.
Every time.
It'll no longer be seen.
Because I doubt not in my heart.
And I believe that what I say
shall come to pass.
Therefore, I have whatever I say.
I have faith in God.
When I speak His will,
when I speak His word,
in the name of Jesus,
I have faith in God.
He will work with His word
and confirm it
with a sign of following.
And by the way, that following really means accompanying.
The sign accompanies the word.
I've got six more pages. How many?
I think we're reaching saturation point here.
Previews on doubt.
Previews.
Because that part that says doubt not in your heart.
Normally the process is this. God will speak. He'll speak to you from His word, or He'll speak to you directly.
Usually the process is this. God speaks, then the enemy speaks.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
See, God says, the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. The enemy says, hath God said? And if you entertain that very long, then he says, thou shalt not surely die.
First God
speaks. Normally it's that way with you. You're going to stand strong in faith, and you make your declaration. And as you're walking away, the enemy speaks doubt in your mind.
Well, what about this and what about that? Maybe this and maybe that.
See, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord.
Now, we're going to be done with double-mindedness.
Get it straight who our God is, what His will is, who the enemy is, and what His will is.
And the Word of God is going to be like, it's going to make a dividing line right down the center of your mind.
No longer double-minded. Single-minded.
Understand? That means we will have what we say.
When we pray, we believe, we receive, and we shall have it.
And I mean every time.
To be continued.
You getting anything out of this?
Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
I will say this about the sovereignty of God. God sovereignly decided to save every person that will believe. He decided that 2,000 years ago. God decided sovereignly to heal every sick person on planet Earth. And He decided that 2,000 years ago when Jesus took the stripes on His back. Our God is sovereign. He has sovereignly made these choices. Let us believe the truth that He sovereignly put you in His army and equipped you with the name of Jesus and anointed hands to set the captives free. Let us believe our sovereign God and go in His name and set them free in Jesus' name. Amen.